Slow Lane Victory, A Gamble of Hope. I'd rather live in regret of failure than in regret of never trying. M.J. DeMarco. Exodus, Life in the Slow Lane. Wealth by the Slow Lane Roadmap is analogous to Exodus, the biblical story of Moses. God leads Moses out of Egyptian bondage into a daunting 40-year journey through the desert with the promise of a glorious future in the land of milk and honey. After a lifetime of toil and struggle, Moses arrives at the doorstep to his destination, and then, wham, he dies. He never sees the promise of the journey because life has no guarantees. Sadly, Slow Lane wealth is akin to this long, perilous journey through the desert. It's a trip that takes decades to finish, starves your life, and makes no promises. Yes, graduate from college, get a good job, entrust your money to the stock market, serve the boss well, and you might be rewarded. In today's harrowing financial climate, I'm surprised people still believe it. But people do, and in legions. When I see sales figures for Slow Lane books, I'm dumbfounded. Millions sold. How sad. Millions being led astray down a path littered with dangerous potholes and detours, a road that takes years to travel for a far-fetched promise of a freer tomorrow. To assume that you will live a long, healthy life is arrogant. To assume that life won't throw you any curves is naive. For the slow lane to prevail, it assumes life is predictable and forgiving. As you know, it isn't. You lose your job. You get sick. The car needs a new transmission. You get married. You get divorced. You have kids. You have a child with special needs. You have aging parents who need care. The economy dips into recession or depression. Life is a menagerie littered with crisis points, which makes the slow lane roadmap a risky bet that consumes your most precious asset, time. Seven Slow Lane Dangers. People drive the slow lane because it's what they've been told to drive. They believe their risks are minimal and it's safe. After all, 90% of all new businesses fail after 5 years, so that fast lane can't be any safer. If you lob a little logic into the slow lane narratives, you'll find that it's extremely hazardous and a plan based entirely on hope. Assumptions, decades of them, expose the slow lane's true risks. Choose to travel the road, and you choose to gamble. Here are the risks. Number one, the danger of your health. The slow lane hopes you will live long enough to enjoy the fruits of your savings as you hit your late stage years. Remember, you will have millions when you retire at 65. Will you be healthy enough to enjoy it? Alive. If you can't work your job, you can't make money. If you can't work, what happens to this plan? Also, you have to avoid other calamities. Hope your job stress doesn't kill you and your family remains healthy. Number two, the danger of the job. The slow lane hopes that you'll be gainfully employed at all times, safely climbing the corporate ladder year after year. You must avoid layoffs, corporate politics, firings, poor industry cycles, job skill degradation, and bad job markets. Number three, the danger of your home. Home equity is lauded as a middle-class wealth vehicle. Many gurus have shouted from the rooftops, "Retire on your home equity," or "Your home is an asset." Capital BS. The slow lane hopes that real estate values always rise, and it's false. In 2008, the value of my home equity plummeted by more than $800,000. I disavow my home as an investment, and thankfully, I do not rely on it. Number four, the danger of the company. Not many companies outlive the centuries. If your retirement faith is put into one company in the form of either 1, your job, 2, your pension, or 3, their stock, you hope the company survives. You make a bet. Many retirees discover too late that their retirement pensions are lost due to mismanagement by company executives. Others who focus their wealth into one company's stock accept great risk that the stock will be worth more in the future. If you assign your retirement onto others, you then accept external risks that you cannot control. When the torque of your financial plan resides with others, you're likely to lose control. Number 5, the danger of your lifestyle. The slow lane begs you to settle and to become a miser. You want to own an exotic car? Forget it. Want to live on the beach? Wishful thinking. If you cannot control your temptations of lifestyle improvement, a nicer home, a nicer car, a nicer meal out, the slow lane becomes slower and reverses course. The slow lane hopes your delayed gratification moves to no gratification. Number 6, the danger of the economy. The slow lane hopes that your investments will yield a predictable 8% return year after year. You must believe the theory that buy and hold works. It doesn't, because economic busts, recessions, and depressions occur. For example, in 2008 to 2009, the equity markets lost nearly 60%. If you saved for 15 years and amassed $100,000, it would now be worth $40,000. It would take you 14 years at 8% yearly returns just to get back even. That equates to almost 30 years gone. And this doesn't account for inflation, which makes your $100,000 more like $50,000. Number 7, the danger of the sidewalk. Frustrated slow laners often revert to the sidewalk. Why? Hope over control. When you can't control time, when you can't control your job, and when you can't control 5 days of your life each week, you feel powerless. Emotions of helplessness create an environment ripe for instant gratification and lifestyle servitude. A study published in 2008 by the Journal of Consumer Research found that when people feel powerless and out of control, they have a strong desire to buy things that convey a high status. Why do people feel powerless? Simple. In the slow lane, you relinquish control because time is in control and the gates to the sidewalk reopen. Hope is not a plan. Resistance is futile. When you perform an autopsy in the slow lane, you see its true colors. It's slow, it eats time, and it's risky. When a slow laner realizes the plan isn't working, he goes into overdrive. Overdrive in the slow lane is like pushing a car's accelerator to the floor, hoping its upper speed limit somehow will mystically extend higher, when in fact, the racetrack itself is the problem, not the accelerator. Yet a slow laner will try to manipulate his weak mathematical universe by trying to make the variables malleable. For example, manipulate intrinsic value by increasing hours worked.
I need to make more money.
Manipulate intrinsic value by changing jobs or adding jobs.
I need to get paid more.
Manipulate intrinsic value by going back to school.
I need a better career.
Manipulate compound interest by seeking better investment yields.
I need better investments.
Manipulate compound interest by expanding investment time horizon.
I need more time.
Manipulate compound interest by increasing the investment.
I need to save more.
Each of these 6 responses is a futile attempt to manipulate the impotence of the slow laner's wealth equation. Unfortunately, the limitations of mathematics cannot be subverted, and doing so results in dangerous cause-effect cycles. When a slow laner wants to make more money, he increases his hours worked, switches to a better-paying job, or adds jobs. When a slow laner wants to get paid more, he goes back to school hoping to increase intrinsic value. When a slow laner realizes that a 3% investment return isn't building wealth fast enough, bigger risks are assumed for bigger returns. When a slow laner watches 40% of his nest egg disappear in an economic recession, he goes back to work, arguing that 5 years is not enough to get back to even. You can't overcome the limitations of mathematics. A car that has a top speed of 10 miles an hour will always have a top speed of 10 miles an hour, no matter how hard you push the accelerator. If you travel across the country at 10 miles an hour, you're going to need 40 years. You see, the slow lane is predisposed to mediocrity because the numbers are always mediocre. The slow lane is risky because its variables are uncontrollable and leverage is absent. ULL really means you'll never get rich. Yet, lifestyle is one variable slow laners can effectively manipulate. Unfortunately, this quickly turned slow lane life into a stale exhibition of misery. Yes, settle for less. Wealth fail. Wrong equation, wrong variable. At some point, the slow laner realizes he can't force the stock market to yield bigger returns. He can't force a 200% pay raise. He can't afford an advanced education to raise intrinsic value. Job hopping offers little incremental pay upgrades. The slow laner is enslaved to his equation and resorts to manipulating the only controllable variable, personal net income, which is increased by reducing expenses. The equation for personal net income is personal net income equals intrinsic value minus personal expenses. The slow lane gurus praise this strategy. The edicts are clear. Pay down your debt. Dump the new car for an old one. Raise your insurance deductibles. Cancel your credit cards and pay cash for everything. Quit buying $10 coffee at Starbucks. Bag your lunch. Shop in bulk. Spend 4 hours clipping coupons. Come on, buddy. Slash those expenses. Someday, you're gonna be rich. Absolutely hilarious. These tiresome strategies are a classic response to being stuck in the slow lane. Lifestyle degradation. When you're married to a bad wealth equation, this is resistance. This is like getting a divorce by sleeping on the couch. Since wealth is tied to time and cannot be controlled, you're left with the kitchen scraps. Lifestyle degradation in the form of expense reduction. Yep, you've become a cheapskate. This is absolutely wrong. Hoodwinking expenses does not create wealth. Exploding income and controlling expenses creates wealth. For example, when I routinely earned over $100,000 a month, I accumulated wealth fast because I maintained control over my expenses. As my income exponentiated, expenses grew linearly and weren't neglected. If my income increased by 100%, expenses only grew by 10%. I didn't accumulate wealth because of expense dickery. Income explosion and expense control created wealth. So what happens when a slow laner commits to the expense variable? Well, life becomes about what you cannot do. You can't take that trip. You can't buy your kids a decent pair of shoes. You can't own that dream car. You can't subscribe to the movie channels. Yes, the good old sacrifice your today for the promise of tomorrow. In other words, you settle. Slow lane victory, fame, or a geriatric award. Why invest in a plan that consumes 40 years of your life and fails most of the time? I wouldn't. The dreary reality is that slow lane failure doesn't happen overnight. Failure transpires over the years like a termite-infested woodshed, and when its denizens come to judgment, it's too late. Yes, slow lane victory is as tough as a truck stop sirloin. In a 2002 AARP survey, 69% of the respondents said they would need to work past retirement age. A year earlier, 45% said they would need to work into their 70s or 80s. We can deduce something very disturbing from this data. The slow lane's failure rate is near 70%. Despite the risks, despite the mathematical limitations, despite the typical 5-day trade for a weekend, despite all of it, you might stand firm and try your luck. While victory isn't impossible, I need to mention a few things. Slow lane winners are usually extremely talented, elderly, or overworked. How to win the slow lane, the secret exit. The slow lane can be defied if you can find its secret exit. It's get out of jail free card that neutralizes the limitations of uncontrollable limited leverage. That secret slow lane escape? Fame. Fame breaks the mathematical limitations of intrinsic value. Those who defy the slow lane are the most pervasive in our culture because of fame. The pro athletes, the rappers, the musicians, the actors, the entertainers. If you want to bludgeon the slow lane's weakness, you need to get famous. Why? Fame and notoriety carry a high intrinsic value. People pay extraordinary rates for you and your services, even if you're just like a reality show star and you have no skills. When a 20-year-old basketball player leaves college and scores a $30 million contract, You've just witnessed slow lane defiance. When an actress lands a $15 million lead role in a major motion picture, you've just witnessed slow lane defiance. When an obese, freckly-faced Irish guy ascends from a waiter to a top finalist on American Idol, the limitations of the slow lane roadmap are shattered because intrinsic value explodes. Suddenly, intrinsic value has leverage because of demand. Unfortunately, most people who seek wealth do so through slow lane defiance, not via the fast lane. Fortune-leading fames are the obvious attack. Why do stadiums breach the capacity for American Idol auditions? Fame explodes intrinsic value. You can defy the slow lane's limitations by becoming so indispensable that your value to society skyrockets. If millions seek you, you will be paid millions. Pro basketball player LeBron James is paid millions because his skills are in short supply. Famous actors and entertainers are paid millions because millions demand their brand in entertainment form. Extreme talent is paid extremely well. Overworked into corporate management. The other highly sought after slow lane secret exit is good old corporate management. No doubt you've heard the slow lane missive, climb the corporate ladder. When a corporate CEO cashes in on $20 million in stock options, you've witnessed another slow lane defiance. Surely you've heard about all those overpaid CEOs of large companies raking in the big dough. Have you ever looked at their age? Exclusive of the founders and the owners, most of them are in their 50s and 60s. Obviously, the roads through corporate management don't happen overnight. From mailroom to CEO can take 40 years. And if it does, you certainly don't get there by taking it easy. Nope, you arrive early and leave late. Sorry, but I don't have 40 years of patience waiting for my golden parachute to land in my backyard. Successful slow laners get stuck in the middle. I have no desire to be famous or to be a corporate drone. Heck, I don't even own a suit or a tie, so how would I climb the corporate ladder? If you're allergic to fame and corporate ascension as a road to riches, what's left? Society enforces the slow lane as your only option. Unfortunately, that strategy leads straight into the middles, middle class or middle age. Yes, every lottery has a winner. Bad odds have winners. Old laners or slow laners who succeed using a slow lane strategy, who survive the slow lane roadmap, eventually become millionaires. But please, don't pop the cheap champagne quite yet. The distinction between a slow lane millionaire and a fast lane millionaire is like the difference between a Buick and a Ferrari. When you recognize the difference, you can critique advice properly and assign it to its correct fast lane or slow lane box. Millionaires are rich, or are they? I recently read an article about a young woman named Callie from the UK who several years ago won millions in the lottery, only to lose most of it shortly thereafter. Of course, lose implies that the entire bag of cash flew out of her car while cruising down the boulevard in her brand new convertible. She didn't lose it, she spent it. She was just 16 years old when she won the $3 million, and it only took her 6 years to blow it. Drugs, partying, exotic cars, breast implants, and a jaw-dropping $730,000 in designer clothes. The problem? Callie thought she was rich, and she spent like she was rich. Surely she bought into her title, I'm a millionaire. While $3 million is a decent chunk of change, she needed $30 million for her lifestyle. Which brings us to our famous word, millionaire. When you hear that word, what do you think? Like wealth, you probably have visions of an extravagant lifestyle, boats, helicopters, mansions, and expensive jewelry. For decades, the term millionaire has been ubiquitously used to describe somebody rich. Except these visions of opulence describe a lifestyle of a millionaire elevated by the fast lane, not the slow lane. Slow lane millionaires who don't escape by fame or corporate bastardization live differently. They own homes in innocuous middle-class neighborhoods. They drive unassuming cars like Hondas or Toyotas. They vacation infrequently, they limit their dining expenses, they cut coupons, and they max out their 401ks. They work 5 days a week at jobs they most likely hate and diligently save 10% of their paychecks. Others own small businesses, franchises, and retail stores. Yes, several national best-selling books have enlightened us. These are the millionaires next door. Sadly, in today's term, a millionaire, net worth of $1 million or more, is simply upper middle class. A millionaire is not rich. 5 million is the old 1 million. I know, depressing. This hidden truth is why many lottery winners go broke just after a few years. Winners envision the lavish lifestyle and live it, not knowing that several $1 million won't support it. If you win $1 million, which after taxes is only $600,000, your lifestyle shouldn't change. If you try to live the millionaire lifestyle as shown on television, a fool and his money are soon parted. Playing the lottery is a symptom of the sidewalk. So why would it shock anyone to discover that a newly crowned lottery winner goes broke just years later? Lottery winners assign rich to the word millionaire, so their fortune is fast spent on the icons of wealth, and soon thereafter, they're bankrupt. The word millionaire fooled them. Millionaire is middle class. To live a lifestyle normally reserved for millionaires, you have to amass far more than $1 million. Having $1 million doesn't entitle you to a lifestyle of the rich and famous. You need at least $10 million for that. So when the media spoon feeds you the word millionaire, determine its perspective. Is it slow lane and middle class, or the fast lane and rich? 12 distinctions between slow lane and fast lane millionaires. Number 1. Slow lane millionaires make millions in 30 years or more. Fast lane millionaires make millions in 10 years or less. Slow lane millionaires need to live in middle class homes. Fast lane millionaires can live in luxury estates. Slow lane millionaires have MBAs. Fast lane millionaires hire people with MBAs. Slow lane millionaires let their assets drift by market forces. Fast lane millionaires control their assets and possess the power to manipulate their value. Slow lane millionaires can't afford exotic cars. Fast lane millionaires can afford to drive whatever they want. Slow lane millionaires work for their time. Fast lane millionaires have time working for them. Slow lane millionaires are employees. Fast lane millionaires hire employees. Slow lane millionaires have 401ks. Fast lane millionaires offer 401ks. Slow lane millionaires use mutual funds in the stock market to get rich. Fast lane millionaires use them to stay rich. Slow lane millionaires let other people control their income streams. Fast lane millionaires control their income streams. Slow lane millionaires are cheap with money. Fast lane millionaires are cheap with time. Slow lane millionaires use their house for net worth. Fast lane millionaires use their house for residency. The fast lane isn't about becoming the next middle class millionaire with tiresome mandates about what you cannot do. It's about what you can do. Chapter summary, fast lane distinctions. The slow lane has 7 dangers, 5 of which cannot be controlled. The risk of lifestyle is the one risk slow laners will try to control. The slow lane is predisposed to mediocrity because its mathematical universe is mediocre. Slow laners manipulate the expense variable because it's the only thing they can control. Exponential income growth and expense management creates wealth. You can break the slow lane equation by exploding your intrinsic value via fame or insider corporate management. Successful slow laners not famous or in corporate management end in the middle, middle class and middle age. Slow lane millionaires are stuck in the middle class. 5 million is the new 1 million. A millionaire cannot live a millionaire lifestyle without financial discipline. Lottery winners fall into the millionaire trap and go broke because they attempt to live a millionaire lifestyle, not understanding that a few million doesn't go very far. Part 5, Wealth, the Fast Lane Roadmap. Chapter 16, Wealth Shortcut, the Fast Lane. People would do better if they knew better. Jim Rohn. What about door number 3? Sidewalk or slow lane, sacrifice today or tomorrow. You can walk the sidewalk with no financial plan and convince yourself that the indulgences of today have no consequence for tomorrow, or drive the slow lane and sacrifice your today for the risk and illusions of a secure tomorrow. But wait, there is another choice, an alternative, a hybrid financial roadmap that can create wealth fast and slash 40 years from wealth accumulation. Fast, however, is relative. If you're 18, you can be filthy rich by 25. If you're 30, you can be retired by 36. Broke at 48, and you can retire by 54. But is it likely? Risky? If you could play one of 3 raffles, which one would you play? Raffle Sidewalk. First prize is $10 million, awarded immediately. Your odds of winning? 1 in 6 million. Raffle Slow Lane. First prize is $500,000, awarded in 40 years. Your odds of winning? 1 in 6. Raffle Fast Lane. First prize, $10 million, awarded in 6 years. Your odds of winning? 1 in 7. So which did you pick? Hopefully Raffle Fast Lane, because its rewards far exceed the incremental risk of Raffle Slow Lane. Raffle Sidewalk, of course, is a wasted long shot. Your choice of financial roadmaps, sidewalk, slow lane, or fast lane, is like this hypothetical raffle. Once you understand the roadmaps and their respective wealth equations, you can choose the one that will serve as your compass. What is the fast lane? The fast lane is a business and lifestyle strategy characterized by controllable, unlimited leverage, or CUL, hence creating an optimal environment for rapid wealth creation and extraordinary lifestyles. Definitively, pay attention to these 4 segments. Number 1, controllable unlimited leverage, or CUL. Whereas the slow lane is defined by uncontrollable variables with no leverage, the fast lane exploits the opposite conditions, maximum control and leverage. Number 2, business. Your own business, self-employment, and entrepreneurship are centrist to the fast lane, much like a job is to the slow lane. Number 3, lifestyle. The fast lane is a lifestyle choice, a commitment of blended beliefs, processes, and actions. Number 4, rapid wealth creation. The fast lane is about creating large sums of wealth rapidly and beyond the confines of the middle class. Here's a story that best describes the fast lane. And yes, this story is inspired from a real story posted on the internet.
After 4 long years, I sold my company for $32 million.
Rapid wealth creation.
And I wouldn't change a thing. I'm happy I sold because I wanted to make money fast and transform paper money into real money. This decision has changed my life permanently. Now I do whatever I want and I'm not the least bit bored. The world is my playground. I travel. I learned 2 new languages and how to play piano. I play water sports, hike, and snowboard at least a month a year. I own 3 homes. I watch pro sports and my favorite teams whenever I choose. I watch 3 to 4 movies a week, and I read 1 to 2 books a week. Most of my time is spent with my family. I literally watch my 2 daughters grow before my eyes. My family has lived on all 4 corners of the planet, including Australia and the Caribbean. Looking back, it wasn't easy. I worked 12 to 6-hour days for 4 years, almost always 6 days a week, and always a few hours on Sunday. We created an awesome service and sold the crap out of it.
The business with CUL.
I remember tough times. I had to put every dime of my money into the company. We had less than $50 on our account at least 5 times. Except for my family during those startup years, I sacrificed plenty. I canceled cable TV, and I temporarily stopped doing a lot of things I enjoyed because I was committed to a goal and a dream of something far greater than a lifetime job.
The lifestyle.
Now, I am an investor in multiple startup companies, and I am making an impact I could have never imagined. I have no apologies or regrets. My life rocks, and I wouldn't change a thing. If I didn't make a choice to get into business and start a company, I don't know where I'd be.
This story epitomizes the fast lane. A business was created, a lifestyle grew the business, which opened up the expressway, and the expressway led to extraordinary wealth, which led to freedom. And yes, it isn't for everyone. The question is it for you? The Fast Lane Mind Posts. Like the other roadmaps, the Fast Lane roadmap contains the same mind posts or behavioral characteristics that drive the fast laner's actions along the journey. They are debt perception.
Debt is useful if it allows me to grow and build my system.
Time perception.
Time is the most important asset I have, far exceeding money.
Education perception.
The moment you stop learning is the moment you stop growing. Constant expansion of my knowledge and awareness is critical to my journey.
Money perception.
Money is everywhere and it's extremely abundant. Money is a reflection on how many lives I've touched. Money reflects the value I've created.
Primary income source.
I earn income via my business systems and investments.
Primary wealth accelerator.
I make something from nothing. I give birth to assets and make them valuable to the marketplace. Other times, I take existing assets and add value to them.
Wealth perception.
Build business systems for cash flow and asset valuation.
Wealth equation.
Wealth equals net profit plus asset value.
Strategy.
The more people I help, the richer I become in time, money, and personal fulfillment.
Destination.
Lifetime passive income, either through business or investments.
Responsibility and control.
Life is what I make it. My financial plan is entirely my responsibility, and I choose how I react to my circumstances.
Life perception.
My dreams are worth pursuing no matter how outlandish, and I understand that it will take money to make some of those dreams real.
These mind posts are what formulate the fast laner's lifestyle. It drives action. The Fast Lane Roadmap, predisposed to wealth. The Fast Lane Roadmap is predisposed to wealth because it operates under a wealth equation with controllable, unlimited variables, and the mathematical cage of time is removed. ULL is replaced with CUL. Correctly exploited, the roadmap reveals a rapid road to wealth via unlimited mathematics evolving via profit or asset value or both. This rapid wealth accumulation expunges years from the journey to wealth because time is removed or exploited during the process. The fast lane produces wealth in short periods, millions, sometimes billions of dollars. Yes, it's true. Get rich quick exists. The shadow behind get rich quick. Successful fast laners get rich quick. Now don't let those three words scare you. I know when you hear them, you're hit with a flurry of negative associations, starting with scam. Things like one tiny classified ad and seminars that cost $5,000. Memories of infomercial gurus, foreign lotteries, the interior finance minister from Nigeria who needs help unloading $9 million. And of course, the phony Bill Gates who needs you to forward this email beta test to everyone and be rewarded with $50,000 in quick cash because, gosh golly, the attorney on the letter says so. Get rich quick is such an abused phrase that it has no credibility. Beaten and battered, we're numb to believe it doesn't exist. Like Santa or a unicorn, we're advised, get rich quick is a scam. I don't blame you, but is it true? Can't you make millions like they say on infomercials? The distinction is that get rich schemes aren't endemic of get rich quick, but its evil twin, get rich easy. Get rich easy shadows its innocent sibling, leaving a trail of victims to be blamed by its brother. Get rich easy parades in the limelight and on late night television. It lies, it deceives, it casts a mirage of vanity that all desire. Just watch this quick start video or buy this stock software program and wham, you will be rich in 10 days. No, that's not get rich quick, but get rich easy, and that only leads to a lighter wallet. Fastlane success stories embody get rich quick. For people to proclaim it doesn't exist is just another untruth advanced by ignorance. Don't allow slow lane losers to corrupt truth. Don't concede. Don't make "that only happens to other people" your truth. Many people have lived get rich quick because it was preceded by process. Tales from the Fast Lane. Unless you live in a vacuum, you're already familiar with the fast lane. When anyone experiences a get-rich-quick event via business, you're witnessing the fast lane. Here are some fast lane stories pulled from the headlines. The inventor who creates a gadget and sells millions of them to 15 wholesale distributors. The guy who builds a cell phone application and sells it 50,000 times. The guy who formulates an energy bar to help him stave off hunger and later is offered $192 million for the company. The guy who builds a blog and 3 years later sells it for $4 million to a big pharmaceutical company. The woman who invents a mop and sells 500,000 of them on QVC. The teenager who builds a website that profits $70,000 a month and later sells it for millions. The guy who patents a product process and then licenses it to a Fortune 500 company and goes on to make $14 million. The guy who creates a website to help him listen to his favorite basketball team and later sells the company for $5.5 billion. The guy who builds a software company and later becomes the richest man on the planet. The doctor who researches anti-aging treatments and sells them to a drug company for $700 million. The author who writes a book about a teenage wizard and goes on to become a billionaire. The gal who manufactures and sells 20 million undergarments that help women fight body gravity. The internet marketer who makes $150,000 a month selling ads. The infomercial marketer who remakes an existing product and sells 4 million of the new and improved version. The guy who creates an energy drink to help him stay hydrated and then sells the company for $530 million. Hidden get-rich-quick fast lanes are everywhere if you just know where to look for them. The Fast Lane, Wealth's Industrial Revolution. The Industrial Revolution was a historic period when humans learned how to leverage the speed and efficiency of machine-based manufacturing. Manual labor was replaced in favor of systems, an organized union of distinct parts that coalesced into a specific production outcome. Long and arduous tasks manually handled by humans transformed into mechanization, expelling most human labor outside of the production equation. For that era, it was their version of get rich quick. Products that formerly took months to manufacture now took days. Likewise, financial freedom via the Fastlane roadmap is like an industrial revolution for wealth. The default road to wealth is manual labor, a fight against time and intrinsic value. The rapid road to wealth is to industrialize the wealth process, to systemize it like our ancestors systemized production. The differences between the default road, the slow lane, and the shortcut, the fast lane, are best demonstrated in an Egyptian parable. The Parable of Fastlane Wealth. A great Egyptian pharaoh summons his two young nephews, Chuma and Azor, and he commissions them to a majestic task, build two monumental pyramids as a tribute to Egypt. Upon completion of each nephew's pyramid, Pharaoh promises each an immediate reward of kingship, retirement amidst riches, and lavish luxury for the rest of their natural lives. Additionally, each nephew must construct his pyramid alone. Chuma and Azor, both 18, know their daunting task will take years to complete. Nonetheless, each is primed for the challenge and honored by Pharaoh's directive. They exit Pharaoh's chambers ready to begin the long pyramid-building process. Azor begins work immediately. He slowly drags large, heavy stones into a square formation. After a few months, the base of Azor's pyramid takes shape. The townsfolk gather around Azor's constructive efforts and praise his handiwork. The stones are heavy and difficult to move, and after 1 year of heavy labor, Azor's perfect square foundation to the pyramid is nearly finished. But Azor is perplexed. The plot of land that should bear Chuma's pyramid is empty. Not one stone has been laid. No foundation. No dirt engravings. Nothing. It's as barren as it was a year ago when Pharaoh first commissioned the job. Confused, Azor visits Chuma's home and finds him in his barn, diligently working on a twisted apparatus that resembles some kind of human torture device. Azor interrupts, "Chuma, what the hell are you doing? You're supposed to be building Pharaoh a pyramid, and you spend your days locked in this barn, fiddling with that crazy machine?" Chuma cracks a smile and says, "I am building a pyramid. Leave me alone." Azor scoffs. "Yeah, sure you are. You haven't laid one stone in over a year." Chuma, engrossed and unfazed by his brother's accusation, retorts, "Azor, your short-sightedness and thirst for wealth have clouded your vision. You build your pyramid, and I will build mine." As Azor walks away, he chides, "You fool! Pharaoh's gonna hang you in the gallows when he discovers your treason." Another year passes, and Azor solidifies the base of his pyramid and begins the second level. Except a problem arises. Azor struggles in his progress. The stones are heavy, and he cannot raise them to the pyramid's second level. Challenged by his physical limitations, Azor recognizes his weakness. He needs more strength to move heavier stones, and to do so, seeks the counsel of Bennu, Egypt's strongest man. For a fee, Bennu trains Azor to build stronger and bigger muscles. With great strength, Azor anticipates the heavier stones will be easier to lift on the higher levels. Meanwhile, Chuma's pyramid plot is still barren. Azor assumes his brother has a death wish, since by all appearances, Chuma is violating Pharaoh's mandate. Azor forgets about his brother and his non-existing pyramid. Another year passes, and Azor's pyramid construction slows to a disheartening crawl. It often takes 1 month just to place one stone. Moving stones to the upper levels requires great strength, and Azor spends much of his time working with Bennu to build greater strength. Additionally, Azor is spending most of his money on counseling fees and the exotic diet required for the training. Azor estimates at his current construction pace, his pyramid will be completed in another 30 years. Unfazed, Azor snides, "After 3 years, I've far surpassed my brother. He hasn't placed one stone yet. That fool." Then suddenly, one day while hauling a heavy stone up his pyramid, Azor hears a loud commotion erupting from the town square. The townsfolk, regular observers to his work, abruptly abandon his plot to examine the celebratory fuss. Curious himself, Azor takes a break and leaves to investigate. Surrounded by a cheering crowd, Chuma trolls up the town square, commandeering a 25-foot contraption, a towering machine built from a twisted maze of gantries, wheels, levers, and ropes. As Chuma slowly moves up the village street amidst the buoyant crowd, Azor fears the explanation. After a short trawl to Chuma's barren pyramid plot, Azor's suspicions are confirmed. Within minutes, Chuma's strange machine starts moving heavy stones and begins to lay the foundation to his pyramid. One after another, the machine effortlessly lifts the stones and softly places them side by side into place. Miraculously, the machine requires little effort for Chuma's operation. Crank a wheel attached to a rope and a cantilever, entwined by a gear system, and bingo! Heavy stones are moved quickly and magically. While Azor's pyramid foundation took over a year to build, Chuma lines up the foundation to his pyramid within 1 week. The second level that Azor so arduously struggled with is even more shocking. Chuma's machine does the work 30 times quicker. What took Azor 2 months takes Chuma's machine 2 days. After 40 days, Chuma and his machine accomplish as much as Azor's 3 years of toilsome work. Azor was destroyed. He spent years doing the heavy lifting, while Chuma built a machine to do it for him. Instead of honoring the machine, Azor vows, "I must get stronger. I must lift heavier stones." Azor continues the hard labor of pyramid building, while Chuma continues the work the crank of his machine. After 8 years, Chuma finishes pyramid at age 26, 3 years to build the system, and 5 years to reap the benefits of the system. The great pharaoh is pleased and does as promised. He rewards Chuma with kingship and endows him with great riches. Chuma never has to work another day in his life. Meanwhile, Azur continues to drudge away at the same old routine. Lift rocks, waste time and money to get stronger, lift rocks, and get stronger. Sadly, Azur refuses to acknowledge his flawed strategy and endures the same old process. Carry heavy stones until you can lift no more, then get stronger so you can lift heavier stones. This mindless prescription leads Azur to a lifetime of toil. He never finishes pyramid promised to Pharaoh simply because he decides to do the heavy lifting himself, when he should have focused on a system to do it for him. Azur has a heart attack and dies while on the 12th level of his pyramid, just 2 levels from finishing. He never experiences the great riches promised by Pharaoh. Meanwhile, Chuma retires 40 years early in a crown of luxury. Sloshing in free time, Chuma goes on to become Egypt's greatest scholar and an accomplished inventor. He is entombed along Pharaoh in the same pyramid he built. The fast lane is a business system. The slow lane is a job. The slow lane is a job. Your hard work traded for your employer's cash. Azur's struggles resemble that of a slow laner. To get rich, you're told to get stronger, spend money, return to school, and earn more in the job market so you can lift heavier stones. The fast lane is about building a better system, a better contraption, a better product, a better something that will leverage your work. In the slow lane, you are the source of the heavy lifting, while in the fast lane, you construct a system that does it for you. On your road trip to wealth, the slow lane roadmap asks that you endure a long, tiresome walk to wealth. The toil of wealth is the process itself. In the fast lane, wealth is driven in a business system you create. The toil is the creation and management of the system itself. Chapter Summary, Fast Lane Distinctions. The risk profile of a fast lane strategy isn't much different from the slow lane, but the rewards are far greater. The fast lane roadmap is an alternative financial strategy predicated on controllable, unlimited leverage. The fast lane roadmap is predisposed to wealth. The fast lane roadmap is capable of generating get-rich-quick results, not to be confused with get-rich-easy. Chapter 17, Switch Teams and Playbooks. A man wrapped up in himself makes a very small bundle. Benjamin Franklin. The Fast Lane Roadmap, the Playbook for Wealth. Losing teams use losing playbooks. Play for the losing team and you're stuck using their losing playbook. To win, switch teams and use the winner's playbook. The Fast Lane Roadmap creates financial winners because it uses a winning formula rooted in unlimited and controllable mathematics. Where is this playbook and how do you get it? You have to forsake the ideology of the majority and become a slow lane trader. Switching teams and the playbook. From the day you were born, you were baptized to play for Team Consumer. From the Barbie doll and the Tonka truck to the Star Wars action figures, you've been conditioned to demand, to want products, to need products, to buy products, and of course, to seek out the cheapest of those products. The correlation between the slow lane and the sidewalk is this. Jobs exist to facilitate the consumer process. You become a brand manager for a consumer products company. You become an insurance agent. You become an accountant for some corporation. It's all consumer driven and focused to move goods and services into the hands of consumers. This consumer focus is like a gravitational pull to keep you amenable to anti-fast lane thinking. Cracking the code. Decoding the fast lane roadmap is as simple as joining the team that is custodian to the decryption key. The winning team is Team Producer. We shape life's focus on producing, not consuming. When you reframe your thinking from the majority thinking, consumer, to minority thinking, producer, you effectively switch teams and allegiances. Yes, become a producer first and a consumer second. Applied, this means instead of buying products on TV, sell products. Instead of digging for gold, sell shovels. Instead of taking a class, offer a class. Instead of borrowing money, lend it. Instead of taking a job, hire for jobs. Instead of taking a mortgage, hold a mortgage. Break free from consumption, switch sides, and reorient to the world as a producer. I know, it's not easy. However, once you see the world from a producer perspective, your perception sharpens like a fine-tuned radio frequency from static to clear stereo sound. Suddenly, opportunities have clarity, ideas surface, and scams are exposed. This new minority status is critical to strengthening your wealth creation temperament. Remember, the rich are the minority, and you want to be in that minority. It starts with a producer mindset. Producer reorientation. When you encounter an advertising message that coaxes you to buy something, examine it from the producer perspective. How does this company make money? What is the aim of its message? What kind of business processes are involved in offering this product or service? Is this company making a profit? What is the revenue model? Is this product manufactured overseas or locally? I've never bought a product on late-night television because I'm on the same team. As a producer, I see the infomercials for what they are. Producers, the minority, serving the consumer, the majority. The act nows, the but wait, there's more, the free bonuses, these are marketing weapons in a producer's arsenal. I watch infomercials not to buy, but to see what the pros are doing. As producers, our job is to entice consumers to buy. As a producer locked in a producer mindset, I attract wealth because consumers seek producers. Consumers are the majority who demand their fill. To consume richly, produce effectively. And the irony of this producer-consumer dichotomy, once you succeed as a producer, you can consume anything you want with little consequence because you'll be rich. To consume richly, produce richly first. Unfortunately, most people have it backwards. Consumption and no production. Producers get rich, consumers get poor. Switch teams and reorient yourself as a producer first, a consumer second. Make wealth attracted to you. Be a producer. Leverage the business of a system. To switch teams and become a producer, you need to be an entrepreneur and an innovator. You need to be a visionary and a creator. You need to give birth to a business and offer the world value. While the centrist theme to a slow lane is a job, in the fast lane, it's a business. Yes, good old self-employment. I know, not breaking news for get-rich books. However, it's important to note that most small business owners are light years away from a fast lane and dickering with slow lane metrics. Some businesses masquerade as jobs. A fast lane business is the key to the fast lane wealth equation, wealth equals profit plus asset value, because it unlocks leverage, a new set of wealth variables that are unlimited and controllable, whereas in the slow lane, they're limited and uncontrollable. Yes, ULL is swapped for CUL. For example, the sale of this book extricates me from the slow lane wealth equation and its universe. This book puts me into the fast lane universe, which is governed by its wealth equation of net profit and asset value. This book is a business system that has unlimited leverage in both time and money. First, it survives time, and it's capable of earning income long after my original time investment. This book effectively transfers the act of income generation from me, the human asset, to the book, the business asset. From start to finish, this book roughly cost me 1,000 hours of my time. If I sell 100,000 books at $5 profit each, I will earn $500,000, or roughly $500 per hour invested. If I sell 500,000 books, I will earn $2,500 per hour invested. The more I sell, the greater the return on my original time investment, as I already paid the time. Imagine 10 years from today, and I sell one copy of this book. Suddenly, I earn $5 from a time investment I made years ago. If I guest speak on a radio show for 10 minutes and that appearance yields 1,000 book sales, this 10-minute investment yields $5,000 in income, 1,000 books times $5 profit, and yields a return on my time at $30,000 per hour. Can you get rich trading your time for $30,000 per hour? Yes, you can, and awfully fast. You see, when you unlock yourself from the handcuffs of time imposed by the slow lane roadmap, you assign income to a system that leverages unlimited mathematics, and fast wealth becomes possible. The variables in my wealth universe can be controlled and leveraged. In the next chapter, you will discover why the fast lane can deliver financial freedom and wealth faster than any mutual fund can. Chapter Summary, Fast Lane Distinctions. Producers are indigenous to the fast lane roadmap. Producers are the minority, as are the rich, while consumers are the majority, as are the poor. When you succeed as a producer, you can consume anything you want. Fastlaners are producers, entrepreneurs, innovators, visionaries, and creators. A business does not make a fast lane. Some businesses are jobs in disguise. The fast lane wealth equation is not bound by time, and its variables are unlimited and controllable. Chapter 18, How the Rich Really Get Rich. Only those who risk going too far can possibly find out how far one can go. T.S. Eliot. The burning question, how did you get rich? Drive any car that costs more than most people's homes, and strangers will accost you with the question, what do you do for a living? This seemingly innocuous question fronts for the real question burning inside. How did you get rich? People want to know the road I've taken so they can assess their likelihood to travel the same road. When I prompt for a guess, the answers are typical. Athlete, actor, a spoiled brat indulged by rich parents, a lottery winner. These speculative answers unmask the reality behind people's perceptions. To get rich, you have to get famous, inherit money, or win money. That's what I thought until I met that stranger in his Lamborghini so many years ago. The Fast Lane Wealth Equation. Living wealthy in youthful exuberance has to shatter the myth of get rich quick. If you're 30 years old and worth millions, and you aren't famous or rich via inheritance, you dirty all fabrics of normality. Now, we can't have that, can we? Once again, the secret is unmasked in the universal language of mathematics. The secret is to divorce yourself from the ugly and obese slow lane equation, ULL, and trade up to the smoking hot blonde, the fast lane equation, CUL. The fast lane wealth equation is wealth equals net profit plus asset value. Underneath this equation lies the true power of the fast lane and how to build wealth fast. Its variables are controllable and unlimited. If you can control the variables inherent to your wealth equation, you can get wealthy. Those variables are net profit equals units sold times unit profit, and asset value equals net profit times industry multiple. All business owners leverage this equation, in which units sold times unit profit will determine net profit. Using my internet company as an example, my unit profit was approximately $4 for every website conversion. A conversion was a user who generated a lead. On any given day, I had 12,000 people visiting my website. This means that my units sold variable had an upper threshold of 12,000 per day. I had the opportunity to sell 12,000 people per day. Now let's compare this variable to the slow laner's counterpart of hours worked. Under my wealth equation, my upper limit of wealth is units sold and currently stood at 12,000. Of course, 100% conversion is unreasonable, and converting all 12,000 is unlikely. Likewise, in the slow lane, the unreasonable upper limit is 24 because there are only 24 hours in the day. Logically, the real upper limit is 8 to 12 hours per day. So what is going to make you rich? An upper limit of exposure to 12,000 people per day? Or maximizing your hours worked in the day? That's 12,000 versus 24. No contest. I get rich and the slow laner gets old. Controllable, unlimited variables will make you rich. So how did I control this variable? How is it unlimited? Simple. My average conversion ratio was 12%. If I want to make more profit or more money, I don't walk into the boss's office and ask for